So we're going to go, today we're going to try and go through Siman Reish and Gimel. Amir Hashem, Chino will be 1:30 at our normal time in our normal place. There is one issue from Shin Yud Ches, which we didn't address, and that is the issue of Hagasa, of stirring. The Gemara says, Misech HaShabbos and Daf Yud Ches, that you're not allowed if you stir the pot, where the Gemara doesn't say whether it's cooked or uncooked, but the Gemara, if you stir a pot, you're chayev on Mishum Bishol, or for something, for being Mamahar the Bishol. So the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Yud Ches, Sif Yud Ches, all the way at the end, understands that that Gemara is talking about where it's not Mavushal Kol Tzarkoi, and when you stir the pot, you speed up the Bishol, and that's why you're chayev. The Shulchan Aruch also adds, you're not allowed to scoop out of the pot with a spoon, because that will also, it's like stirring the pot. When you scoop out with a spoon, it also stirs the pot. And your chayev also mishum bishul. Or it's so too if you have an uncooked pot. This people do sometimes. You have an uncooked pot that's on top of a flame. They take off the lid to look at it, then they put back on the lid. Why do they put back on the lid? Because it's not fully cooked. Oh, if it's not fully cooked, when you put back on the lid, it's been maher the bishul. And now you have a problem of cooking something which is not mavushul. And you violate the malacha of bishul. The Ramah, though, over there, Shin Yud Ches, Sif Yud Ches, quotes from the Kolboy, that this is even talking about something that's not Mavushal Kol Tzarkoi. I'm sorry, even something that's Mavushal Kol Tzarkoi. Shulchan Aruch says the Gemara, which talks about stirring, is talking about something that's not Mavushal. So then it makes sense. If you cook it, you're Mamahar the Bishul, you're Chai for Bishul. The Ramah quotes from the Kolboy that it's even talking about something which is Mavushal. You're also not allowed to stir the pot. And presumably to scoop out from the pot. So, but why? Excuse me. The Sharetzi in there, in Sivka and Kuf Mem Ches, asked, but if it's Mavushal Kol Tzarkoi, what exactly are you worried about? What's the problem that might arise because of stirring the pot? So there are two explanations that are given by the Acharonim in order to understand the Chumrah of the Kolbo. The Rav explained, and other Acharonim say this as well, that it's because stirring the pot is mitzarchei habishul. There's a diuk in the Rambam like that. That stirring the pot is mitzarchei habishul. When you cook things, if you know how to cook, you don't just put the stuff in the pot and come back an hour later and you think it's cooked. You have to stir the pot. You have to, like, even if you make pasta, which is not, I assume everyone here can do that, you have to stir the pot. That's the only thing I know how to make. So at least you can stir the pot. If you don't stir the pot, it ends up in one big clump. It doesn't work. So the Rav held that the chum of the kobo is because it's mitzarchei habishul to stir the pot. Even if it's Mavushal Kol Tzarkoi, stirring the pot is Mitzarchei Abishul, that's why it's Aser. Ramayisha understood the Chumrah of the Kobo is because there might be one pocket which is not cooked yet. Meaning sometimes you have an echolent like that. You get a echolent and there's like one corner of the barley never got cooked. You know, it's like it got never absorbed any water. So if you stir the thing, you might cook that one little particle that wasn't cooked before. So Ramayisha understood, even though the whole pot looks like it's fully cooked, there might be part that's not cooked. And the Rav held, no, it's because it's Mitzarchei Abishol, even though it's Mavushal Kol Tzarkoi. So what exactly are you worried about? But that's Mitzarchei Abishol, is to stir the pot. So that's why the Rav, the Kobo held, it's also to stir even a fully cooked pot, yeah. No, it's Mitzarchei Abishol, even Daraisa would be Yasser.
Or Ramosha
would be Darabon. Ramosha is also a Chashash Daraisa, maybe this part of it that's not cooked. What will be the Nafkamina between these two Perushim will be? Let's say it's not Al Gabi Ho'esh. Let's say you took the pot off the flame. So if the pshat is like Rav Moshe, that we're afraid that you might even, there might be a little piece that wasn't cooked, even if it's not on the fire, as long as it's Yatzar Leather's body, and you stir it, there might be a part that wasn't cooked. It'll be a problem even if it's Shaloy Al Gabi Yoresh. The other nafkamina will be, let's say you're just scooping out. Just scooping out is not Mitzarchei Abishol. That's not called like an activity of cooking, is scooping out. Stirring is yet, yes, but scooping out not. So Mishnah Berurah quotes that even though we're, the Ramah has the Chumrah of the Kolbo, that this Gemara is even talking about something that's Mavushal Kol Tzarkoi. If it's Shaloy Al Gabi Ha'esh, and you're serving, then it's allowed. That's everybody serves soup. They take it off the fire, and they scoop out. They don't stir. They don't even stir when it's off the fire. But they scoop out when it's off the fire, and that's further than that, you don't have to be Machmir for the Kolbo. According to the Rav, though, you could, once it's Shaloy Al Gabi Ha'esh, you could stir the pot. Because the whole fear is that it looks like you're cooking. Nobody, you don't cook off the flame. Mitzarchei Abishol is only if it's on the flame, not if it's off the flame. So if that's the pshat in the Kobo, you could even stir off the flame. But the Mishnah Berurah is machmir not to stir even when it's not on the flame, as long as it's yatzar. But this is, I guess, along the lines of the Chumrah of Moshe, because we're afraid that there's a little bit that isn't cooked. But if one wants to stir the pot off the flame, I can hear why that might be. If one wants to be machmer, not even to serve off the flame, according to our Mishnah, that might be an issue. But the Mishnah Berurah puts his foot down with regards to serving off the flame. Already that far we're not going to go. The Mishnah Berurah, the Chazon Ish, all the Acharonim understand, though, that this whole kobo is only a chumrah. That's a hard thing to. We have to go to great lengths to explain why it should be usher. Pashup shad, if it's mavushal kol tzarka, what are you worried about? So therefore, if it's a pot that you cannot lift up, like in the camps, they sometimes have these big cholim pots. You can't lift it up to serve off the flame. So then you could even serve it. Serve it from on top of the flame because it's too big to take off. It'll be too much of a tircha. Or if we're going to get to Rabbi Wilk's chumra, that once you take a cholent out, if you have a real crock pot, you can't put it back in because that's a chazar l'teichoy. So then it could be that you shouldn't take the cholent out. If you don't have cholent Friday night, you shouldn't take the cholent out to serve. You're going to be so machmer for your kobo. Now you're not going to be able to put your cholent back in. It'll be a problem of a chazara. So therefore, maybe it's best just to serve the cholent from within the cholent pot. Even though we're machmer for the kobo, the question is how far to take it. So the Shulchan Aruch over here, Reish Nun Dalet, Siv Dalet, and the Raman Simen Reish Nun Test, they're not part of the Chaymer. But it says something which is poshut really, which is, let's say you have something that's not fully cooked, a dish that's not fully cooked, and you put it in, it's inside of an oven. So let's say I open the oven door, then I close the oven door. I want to look at it, then I close the oven door. So if the oven is on, now it's going to cook faster. When I open the door, it's going to cook slower. Now when I close the door, it's going to cook faster. That's like taking the pot off the soup and putting it back on. If it's not fully cooked, then you have violated Bishul. So too, if you have a pot inside of an oven and it's not fully cooked, or in a hot box, a caterer's hot box, they have it in every kiddush in the shul. So if you have something in there that's not fully cooked and then you close the door, you just chayav Mishum Bishul. So some suggest that perhaps according to the Kobo, we should be machmir, if you're not allowed to stir even a fully cooked pot, so then you shouldn't be allowed to put let's say the oven is on or a hot box is on. You can't close the hot box if there's a second potato kugel in there, even though it's fully cooked. Why? Because that's like stirring a fully cooked pot. Closing the oven door when there's a pot inside, even though it's fully cooked, is like stirring a fully cooked pot. That should be awesome. So I think in the Shabbos kitchen, he talks, he's machmir on this. The Shvisa Shabbos are machmir like that. But Rav of the Achronim reject this chumrah, because then according to that, why could you take a fully cooked kugel, let's say, and put it kedera agavi kedera? Why is that mutter? It's like stirring a fully cooked pot. Meaning, or let's say you have a cover on top of a fully cooked pot. Nobody ever asked her taking the cover off a fully cooked pot and putting the cover back on. So to be, if you're going to be machmer like that, you can't put anything on your non-adjustable hot plate. You can't put anything there. Why? Because that's like stirring a fully cooked pot. So al-karchach, we must say that though, since that's mutter, closing the oven door is also allowed. So that's what every caterer does. That they take one potato kugel out, if they have more than one, you know, you take one potato kugel out, when that goes, they take out the next one. And even though in the interim they close the we don't bring rice from caterers, but they close the do a lot of things wrong, they close the oven door even though there's kugels inside. Or some people do this Friday night, they leave their oven on a timer instead of putting things up on a blech or on a hot plate. So they leave it in the oven and they put it on a timer. They put everything in the oven, the husband goes to shul, whatever. And then they come back. So sometimes have the meal and the oven is on. So she wants to take out the soup to serve the soup, and she wants to leave everything else in the oven so it just remain hot. So she's going to close the oven door while it's still on and there's fully cooked food inside. So that's this shaila, you're allowed to do that. So some are machmer that you should have the oven go off before the meal starts. So if you want to do this, you have to have the timer that turns off the oven before it starts. But many are mako because the kobo didn't extend that far. The whole kobo is such a chumrah. So to extend it to even closing the oven door when the oven is on is a real chumrah. Yeah?
According to the Shabura, why do you have to take the food off the fire and try and scoop it? Why? What's wrong with scooping it on the fire?
Scooping it. That's the kobo that we assume even scooping is like stirring. So to put the two together, once you take it off the fire and scooping, I think the Mishabura even talks about even going that far. But then, Mamish. Put all the chumras together, should be even scooping off the fire should be a problem. They can't serve it. So I think the Mishnah Berurah is machmer that scooping off the fire is allowed. Is mekel. Scooping off the fire is allowed. Okay, that's Shin Yud Ches. Here in Simen Reish Nun Gimel, Sif Aleph deals with the first thing that we deal with is the Isser of Shehiyah. The Gemara says on that same daf in Masechta Shabbos is the Isser of Hagas, of stirring, that a woman is not allowed to put up a pot of uncooked food Friday going into Shabbos on an uncovered flame. Why? Gzeira, we're afraid, Shemi Yachat to be Gechalim. We're afraid she might come to stoke the coals, meaning she's going to see that the dish is not going to be ready for the meal, and she's going to stoke the coals so that the dish will be ready for Friday night meal. There's a machlekes, basic machlekes, later on in Perakir between Hanani and the Rabbanon, and how far do we take this gzeira of Shehiyah, that you're not allowed to leave uncooked food on an open flame going into Shabbos. So Hanani's opinion is that whatever is cooked, Kamaicho ben derusoi, is cooked to the minimum amount, the minimal amount of shir abishal, which we discussed last time. What is kamaicho ben derusoi? Either half cooked or a third cooked. But once it's cooked, kamaicho ben derusoi, so then Hananiah held, now there's no longer a problem of shehiyah. Why? Because it's minimally edible. She can serve it at the meal. I mean, it's not going to be terrible. She'll serve it, and it'll be fine. So she's not going to come to stoke the coals. And the Rabbanan hold, no, what woman wants to serve a b'di'evet dish? She wants it to be mavushal kol tzarko. So until it's mavushal kol tzarko, there's still a chashash that she might come to stoke the coals. So that's the machlekes between Hananiah and the Rabbanan. Then even within the opinion of the Rabbanan, there's a further suffix the Gemara has, that perhaps even if it's mavushal kol tzarko, but it'll be mitzdamek v'yafaloi, if it'll cook more, it'll taste more shmalti, it'll taste more geshmak. So then perhaps even for the Rabbanan, what woman want to serve a better dish? Because this is fine, but this is mavushal kol tzarko, but it could be mitzdamek v'yafaloi. So she'll also come to stoke the coals. So that's a further machlokas. Even within the opinion of the Rabbanan, it could be it's not good enough that it's mavushal kol tzarko. It actually has to be mitzdamek v'raloi. If it's mitzdamek v'yafaloi, then it would still be an iser of shehiyah. So how do we paskin on this issue? It's 2 days over here in the Shulchan Aruch, Reishon and Gimel, this sif that never seems to end. Simen Reishon and Gimel, Sif Aleph, is a machlokas, the Rabbanan and the Hananya. The opinion of the Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions, and he seems to conclude the Chumrah like the Rabbanan, that there's an Isser of Shehiyah unless it's Mavushal Kol Tzarko and Mitztamik V'raloi. If it's Mitztamik V'yafaloi, you'll have a problem. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, by the way, it should come out, Cholent, which I assume most people's Cholent is Mitztamik V'yafaloi. The longer you cook it, the better things get. So then Cholent would always need a blech. You can never have a situation where Cholent would not need a blech, according to the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah, though, says the minig is to be Mekol Echanani, that once it's cooked, Kamaichel Ben Derusoi, so then there's no iser of shehiyah. You could leave the food on an uncovered flame going into Shabbos. I think even Reb Avadi writes to Sfardim here, Paskin like the Ramah, that we make like Hananya. The Bir Halacha, though, quotes from the Rosh, that who writes that, oh, the minig was kula. He says, because Klal Yisrael so adukim, but covered Shabbos, that we can't convince them to do otherwise. Meaning, the Rosh writes, it sounds like it's a b'di'evet. Oh, Klal Yisrael won't listen to us, to be machmer like the Rabbanon, so we're meko like Hananya. So be halacha is medayik in the Rosh. But if Klal Yisrael would listen to us, we should really be machmer like the Rabbanon. So the Bir Halacha recommends that one should be machmer like the Rabbanon. I believe Rabbi Eider has, I have to look it up, someone told me it's not there, but I believe Rabbi Eider has a diak in the Bir Halacha that even according to that he recommends to be machmer like the Rabbanon, he wouldn't recommend to be machmer even if it's mitzdamek v'yafaloi. He was only recommending to be machmer like the Rabbanon without the mitzdamek v'yafaloi part. But according to Bir Halacha, one should really be machmer like the Rabbanon, and most things then will require, unless it's fully cooked, maybe mitzvah or ala, whatever. Until it's fully cooked, you should have a blech. The Chazanish had a different shot than the Rosh. Rabbi Willig went with the Chazanish. That no, this is not. We can't convince Klal Yisrael to do what's really correct. No, it's so beautiful. Klal Yisrael is a duke in B'mitzvah Sainik Shabbos that they want to be make like Hananya. But that's a wonderful thing, and we should encourage it. That Klal Yisrael should be a duke in B'mitzvah Shabbos. So Chazanish says, no, Chaz v'Shalom, we should be Meiko like Hananya, that if once it's cooked, Kamaicho ben Derusoi, it's not a justification. It's not a tziduk of the Minig Ha'olam. It's l'chatchila, that we should be adukim by Enek Shabbos and be Meiko like Hananya, once it's cooked, Kamaicho ben Derusoi, to be Meiko. The Gemara in Shabbos has a kula, okay, so the two opinions. But if it's uncooked, not even Kamaicho ben Derusoi, you can't leave it on an open flame going into Shabbos. The Gemara does have a kula, if it's a kidrich aisa, totally uncooked at the time the Shabbos starts, so then there's no Isser of Shehiyah. This is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch over here, Sif Aleph. If you have thrown a piece of raw meat right as Shabbos is starting, so then there's no Isser of Shehiyah. So why is that so? Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkat and Tes that it's because meat doesn't get cooked that quickly. So there's no way it's going to be ready for Friday night. Even if you'll stoke the coals, it won't be ready for Friday night. So then we're not afraid. You're going to stoke the coals. It'll be useless. So therefore, that undoes takes away the chashash of shemi yichal to be kacholim, and there's no iser of shehiya. That's why the Mishnah Berurah says it doesn't apply to vegetables or potatoes. That could get ready in an hour. How long does shul take? And there's not even the karbach minyan. It doesn't take an hour. So then vegetables could get cooked in an hour. So, but meat, not. So therefore, it undoes the iser shehiya if you put a raw piece of meat in right samach l'chashecha. However, the Paiskim write, Rabbi Wilk doesn't even mention this ever, because he believes that the heter doesn't really apply in our current setting, and the Paiskim bring up two reasons as to why it might not apply. The first is the Magen Avraham has a diuk in the Shulchan Aruch, and it's quoted over here in the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat and Yud, that it's only if you put it in Im Chashecha, right as Shabbos is beginning, and when Shabbos starts, it's not cooked at all. Let's say you put it in half an hour before Shabbos. Now it's somewhat cooked when Shabbos comes. Not Michael Ben Dusoy, but it's somewhat cooked. So now you don't have the heter of Kidrachaz. It's only if it's not cooked at all when Shabbos comes in, then you have the heter. So Shvisas HaShabbos and the Chazon Ish both point out that now that most of us accept Shabbos early at 18 minutes before the Shkia, by the time the Shkia comes, it's partially cooked. So our chumrah for the Ashit of the Urayim to accept Shabbos 18 minutes early undoes the heter of Kidra Chaisa, because by the time Shabbos comes in, it's a little bit cooked. So in the Shabbos kitchen, he quotes a good svara, I think, from the Sefer, I don't know who it is, but from this Teferis Shmuel, who says, no, it depends on what, when you accept Shabbos, it should not be cooked. It doesn't depend on when Shkiyas Achama, it depends when you accept Shabbos, it shouldn't be cooked at all. So I think that's a good svara. But that's one reason why many Paiskim don't accept this heter anymore, is because by the time Shabbos, since we generally accept Shabbos early, by the time Shabbos comes in, it's partially cooked. The other reason is yeah.
Are we showing that quoted didn't accept Shabbos early?
It's a chumah for the Urayim.
But
the sheet of the Urayim is the Shkiyas Hacham is 18 minutes.
Already shown saying,
we're machmer for the Urayim of 18 minutes? No. That's our chumah for the sheet of the Urayim. Rabbeinu Tam was cooking already at that. Shkiyas Hacham was cooking.
No,
the Shulchan Aruch passes like Rabbeinu Tam. The 18 minutes is a new. Is a, they had to Sefer Shabbos.
Right. Like
yeah. Some hold to Sefer Shabbos is.
It's a minute. Yeah.
The other reason why many do not accept, and I think this is Rabbi Willig's reason, is the tanya that Rabbi Henkin already had, which is that our heating utensils have changed. They're much better. In an hour, you could cook anything. Almost anything could get cooked in an hour. So you say, whoa, but it's a slow cooker. Even the slow cookers, even the crock pots, you turn it up to the highest madrigas, it could cook anything in an hour. Anything could get cooked. So therefore, they tell her that you don't have the heter anymore, because if she will stoke the coals, it will be ready Friday night. Let's say she runs out of something else. She says, oh, so chillin' Friday night. It could be ready if you stoke the coals. So therefore, this heter doesn't apply. Some are mako if it's a slow cooker. You look in the svarim, the contemporary svarim, they talk about it. That some are mako if it's a slow cooker. But Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Shechter also, they're not happy with this kula, based because our heating utensils cook too quickly. The Bir Halacha does quote a heter in Sif Aleph, which Rabbi Willig couldn't even entertain, as even Bidiyevet, he told me you can't rely on it, something like that. The Bir Halacha says, if you're Mesiach Das, like let's say the woman has probably, a menu in her head, what she's going to serve Friday night, what she's going to serve Shabbos day. She knows she's not serving this Friday night, come, you know, high water. She's not serving this thing Friday night. It is for Shabbos day. So then can you leave it on an uncovered flame going into Shabbos? So Bir Halacha says, yes, maybe. If you make it in your mind, you're not serving this a Friday night no matter what, so then maybe there's a reason to be mako, kind of like Kidra Chaisa. However, we would have thought that was outlandish. I mean, something that can't even be relied on, he told me. In order to be mako, to leave an uncooked item on a flame going into Shabbos, the Gemara says it has to be grufa uktuma. It has to be a covered flame. Grufa means to remove the coals. There's no chashash you're going to stoke the coals if they aren't there. And ketuma means that you covered the coals.
Or
grufa or ketuma. Yeah, either remove the coals, in which case, of course, you're not going to stoke the coals, or you can cover the coals. The Mishnah says in Shabbos that this heter only works on a kira, not on a tanur, because a tanur was chaymai rav, So the heter of Gufo Ketumah doesn't help. But the Ramah already over here, Sif Aleph, writes that Tanurim Shalanu Kikira Shalahem. That's what he's talking about. The Gemara says in Masech Shabbos that Gufo Ketumah doesn't work if it's a Tanur. He says our Tanurim are this, like their Kira. So therefore, the heter of Gufo Ketumah will work on all of our heating utensils. The Rashba writes a Chumrah, which is alluded to by the Bir Halacha. It's quoted by Rabbi Kiva Eger. The contemporary sfarim don't really bring it up. And that is, it could be the heter of Gufo Ketumah only works if it's at least Kuk Kamaichu Ben Derusoi. If it's not Kuk Kamaichu Ben Derusoi, so then even Gufo Ketumah doesn't work. Because we're afraid you might come to stir the pot. This is the Gemara about stirring the pot implies that it might even apply when it's Gufo Ketumah. That's how the Rashba learns the Gemara. So the Rashba claims the whole heter of Gufo Ketumah only works for the Rabbanon. For Chananya, if it's not Kuk Kamaichu Ben Derusoi, the heter of Gufo Ketumah won't work because we're afraid you're going to stir the pot, not stoke the coals. We're afraid you're going to stir the pot. So according to the Rashba, the only time you could use a blech, the only time a blech will help you is if it's at least Kuk Kamaichu Ben Derusoi. If it's not Kuk Kamaichu Ben Derusoi, even a blech won't help you. So according to that, Chumra Rebbe Kiva Eger, you can't put up chilat right before Shabbos even with a blech. Because unless you're going to hold the heter of Kidra Chaisa, which we already buried somewhere else, so that doesn't help us. So if you're going to be machmer for the Rashba, even the blech won't help you. Blech only helps if it's kukum aichu ben drusai. That's a chumra Rebbe Kiva Eger quotes from the Rashba. Most don't even quote it. Rav Shechter likes to say, I think, if you ask him about it, that he had two grandmothers. One was machmer for this, one wasn't machmer for this. He makes a whole, some machlunkas of grandmothers. But meaning of Galicia, meaning of this one, you could ask him yourself. But some they bring it up. Everybody brings it up. Nobody really seems to go with it. So a blech will help no matter what the situation is. If you throw a blech on, you're pretty much all right. Yes?
So what
would Chananya have to do? Right, yeah. This obviously has a lot to do with the Rashba with Shitasa. Once it's Kuk Kamaichu Ben Derusoi, there's no Iser Bishul. It's a complicated matzah, though, Rebbe Kiva Eger. But you should be aware of it. Rebbe Kiva Eger quotes from a Rashba, blech doesn't help if it's not Kuk Kamaichu Ben Derusoi. Everybody knows about it. But very few paskin that way, except for Shechter and grandma. What does the Grufa Ketumah do for you? So we said, if it's Grufa, if you took away the coals, there's no chashash, you're going to stoke the coals. What does Ketumah do that you cover over the coals? So that's a big machlek of Rishonim. The Ran says, and this is the way Rabbi Will kept assuming, is that it works midin heker. It reminds you not to stoke the coals. I come over, I say, ooh, why are these coals covered? Oh, not to stoke them. So Gufo Ketumah helps you to remind you not to stoke the coals. Rashi says because it's memai techoim, it lowers the heat. This halacha of Gufo Ketumah is basically we don't cover the coals, we don't stoke the coals, we don't have coals. But what the halacha that we follow, the basic idea of a blech or a covered flame, comes from the Shulchan Aruch over here, Siv Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch says, Hamashkim abayka v'rosh agdicha tavshil. A person wakes up and he sees his tavshil is drying out. He's allowed to pick it up and put it down on top of an empty pot. So that empty pot, Hachazar is only mutter, we'll get to it if it's a covered flame. That empty pot in Siv Gimel is serving as a Gufo Ketumah. This is the first time you really find in the literature over here a pot serving as a Gufo Ketumah. In the Gemara, it's always covering coals with ashes or other than dirt. Here, you're using a metal pot to cover a flame, and that's an application of Gufo Ketumah. So that's the source for our modern-day blech, which would serve as Gufo Ketumah. The problem is, does a blech really lower the heat? A blech doesn't lower the heat. It might serve as a heker, but it doesn't lower the heat. So Moshe writes that we're mako, obviously, like the Ran. We assume that a blech works because it serves as a heker, and we pass like the Ran, not like Rashi. It doesn't have to lower the heat. It's enough if it serves as a heker. The Chazon Ish said we should only accept what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch said if you take a pot and put it over the flame, that's mutter. Why? So the Chazon Ish says, because a pot lowers the heat. If you put an empty pot over a flame, that's going to take away some of the heat's effect on the top shield. But a regular flat blech, no. That you can't be mako, the Chazon Ish says. Because it doesn't lower the heat. Chazon Ish felt we should be machmir for Rashi, that the point of a blech is to lower the heat. And Rav Moshe said, we paskin like the Ran, that the point of a blech is to serve as a heker, to remind you not to stoke the coals. But not that it has to lower the heat. That's why some poskim you'll see discuss whether aluminum foil works as a blech. So I think in the Shabbos kitchen there's a new sefer he put out now called the Aura of Shabbos. So he addresses Shehiyah again. I assume it's because he switched a lot of things. So in the, I don't know, I haven't made a formal examination, but in the Shabbos kitchen, I believe he quotes there from Shlomo Zalman that aluminum foil that's thin does not work as a blech. Why? Because it does. It's not memayit achayim. He says if you have that heavy duty aluminum foil, that'll work. He says that lowers the heat. I don't know. But many, if you go with, that's only if you're cheshish for Rashi. If you're cheshish for Rashi, Chazinish already writes, a blech doesn't help. I don't know what your heavy-duty tinfoil will help then. But those who are maker like the Ran, where usually maker like the Ran, even thin aluminum foil, then should be able to serve as a blech. Chazinish also argues that it doesn't serve as a hecker. He says all the time we cook on blechs. He says you go and you ask for an egg, you ask for a scrambled egg in a restaurant, they make it on something that looks exactly like a blech. So he says, oh, see, we cook on blechs. So that's what the Chazanish said, it had to be a pot. But we're maker with a blech. If you're maker with a blech, I think we could be maker with tin foil too. Even thin foil. What about if it's a covering, the whole point of a blech is to serve as a reminder not to stoke the coals. Let's say it's there all the time, meaning you have a covered heating utensil. By definition, the way it's made is that the coils inside of the hot plate are covered. So is that called a covered flame? The answer is no. If it's there all the time, that's not called a covered flame. That's the way it's made, so it doesn't remind you not to stoke the coals. So if you have an adjustable hot plate, the fact that the hot coils are covered over inside is not called a covered flame, but the yeved, the chachil, is not called a covered flame for anything. So too, that some people, if you only use your crock pot on Shabbos, and it's a pain to line the crock pot because they use the heavy-duty tinfoil, so it's a pain to line the crock pot with the heavy-duty tinfoil, so they leave the tinfoil there from week to week. Yeshiva guys for sure probably do that. They leave the tinfoil there from week to week. So then it's there all the time. If it's there all the time, does it really serve as a hecker come Shabbos? Doesn't remind you of anything. It just reminds you that you always have tinfoil in your crockpot. So maybe then it doesn't serve as a blech at all. Maybe you have to undo it every time. So I think we could be mako if you don't cook on it during the week. If you only cook on it on Shabbos, then fine, it serves as a hecker. If you use it, though, once during the week, let's say you make chillin Friday night, Thursday night for your oinig, for your madrich, for something or other, and you make chillin for Thursday night, and you leave the tinfoil there, now you just undid your blech. You can't now use it come Shabbos and call it a hecker. You'd have to take it off and re-put it on in order that it should be called a blech. Sometimes people do this also on a hot box in the shul or whatever, and they leave tinfoil on all the time. It's just easier than doing it every week. So again, if you use the hot box during the week for a simcha, then I don't think it works. I don't think it works come Shabbos. Ritzipes of Frank or Ramesh or Shlomo Zalman are quoted by many as having said that if it's a non-adjustable item, then that's included in what Grufo Ketuma means. That's called the covered flame. The fact that it's covered over inside the hot plate doesn't help, but if it's non-adjustable, then we could be Mako. However, Beirula quoted Rabbi Ruvain Feinstein in the name of his father, Rabbi Moshe. Rabbi Yashav is quoted like this by the Orcha Shabbos, that no, that's not called a covered flame. The fact that it's non-adjustable is nice, but that doesn't make it into a covered flame. So then, turns out to be a big chumrah. What are you going to do? Shabbos urn then. Let's say you want to put up the Shabbos urn right before Shabbos. You rely on the brownie in motion and everything. So you want to put up the Shabbos urn right before Shabbos. According to Rabbi Yashav, it's a problem of Shehiyah. Because you're putting uncooked food on a non-covered flame going into Shabbos. If you say anything that's non-adjustable is considered a covered flame, you could put your water right up in the urn right before Shabbos. As long as you're not concerned with the indicator tube. But if you hold like Rabbi Yashav, so then all these things are a problem. You can't put it up right before Shabbos. It'll be an Issur of Shehiyah. Rabbi Moshe said that the Iker Heker in the time of the Gemara of covering over the coals was the flame. It was focused around the flame. So too, Rabbi Moshe said the blech should really cover the flame. The old time blechs just covered the flame. It didn't cover the dials. That was like Rabbi Moshe that the Iker is covering the flame. Rabbi Aaron Cutler held that the Iker is covering the dials. That's where you're going to stoke the coals. It makes sense. You're going to stoke the coals nowadays by turning the dial. So it should really cover the dial. That's the Iker Grufa Ketuma. The real place where this comes up is by an oven. We said Tanurim Shalanu Kikira Shalahem. So if you had Grufa Ketuma in an oven, you could really do Shehiyah with uncooked food inside of an oven. Let's say you want to have very fresh chicken. Put it up right before Shabbos, and it'll be perfectly cooked come Shabbos, come the meal Friday night. Oh, but it'll be an Isser of Shehiyah. If it's not cooked when Shabbos starts, no problem. Put a blech. How do you put a blech in an oven? So maybe we need like Ramosha says by Pesach, you need like a hot box. which nobody does by Pesach anymore. Certainly no one's doing it by Shabbos. Have a metal box inside of your oven. I don't know, maybe you could just, I don't think you could just do tinfoil. Some of the places can say nowadays you could just do tinfoil on the bottom, but I think they're talking about a warming drawer. I don't think they're talking about an oven. So it might should be very difficult to do a grufo ketumah inside of an oven. But according to Rav Aaron, it's much easier. Just cover the dials. So you could do grufo ketuba inside of an oven, no problem, just cover the dials. But according to Rav Moshe, it would be an issue. Yeah?
How the Machlokes Hananya and Chacham play out like this? There's no real
method of understanding. Yeah, we have to be Yatzel at this point, yes. I guess so. I don't know, they must say that. Must be Moshe Baruch. Must be Moshe Baruch. Ramosha would only say if it was cooked in Michael Ben Dusar, then you could leave it in an oven like Hananya, I guess. But otherwise not, yeah.
The iron cutter was the
he held the Iker was the dials.
So you don't have to cover the dials.
So nowadays they make a blef, covers both. That's to be chashish for both sheets. I think Ramosha writes you should cover the dials too, but the Iker is the flame. But Baron held it was just the knobs. What about you just take off the knob? Very Baal Batisha answer. Just take off the knob. So if Shlomo Zalman writes in the Mincha Shlomo, that doesn't help. But I think in the Orach HaShabbos, he quotes some others that say that it does help. That does help. What they talk about, just break the adjustable part of your hot place. Shiloh, if that helps. If Shlomo Zalman held it didn't help, then the others held that it did help. I don't think anybody would say a little in your oven, Shabbos. Nobody would hold that helps. You need some sort of hecker on the fire. If it's not a hecker on the fire, it doesn't help. The Ramov in Reishna and Dalet Sif Aleph talks about a heter called Tach Betit. If you sealed over the your access to the coals in tit, in mortar, so then you had a heter to leave stuff on an uncovered flame. Because you can't get to the coals. So too, Rabbi Willig suggested it could be any, and other they talk about it, the Orach HaShabbos talks about it, that if you have any covering that you put on the dials, that you can't turn the dial unless you remove the covering. And if you put a piece of tape, you could just turn it anyway. That's not called Tach Betit. But if you tape it in all five different ways, so it could be then that's like Tach Betit, you removed your access to the coals, in which case it would be mutter. So I think Rabbi Willig suggested that as one of his terem by a warming drawer, in order to make a warming drawer, Gufo Ketuma, by making it Tach Betit, by removing your access to turning the knob without removing the tape. On
why
top.
The
that's what they ask. Everybody asks it. So the knob should also be Tach Betit. You took the knob off. You could put the knob back on. I don't know. But that should be the same as Tach Betit. I agree with you. It's a good kasha. Everybody, so every year someone asks. It's a good kasha. This would also work by a hot box. Hot box that they have every, you should know how to do this if you're going to go into a shul. Every shul has one of these boxes that's exactly like a warming drawer. Nobody cooks in them. But so the same, whatever we said by warming drawers, how you have to fix the hot box in the shul. So many cover the tape over the dial in the hot box too, and it's the same as a warming drawer. Okay, that's the Isser of Shehiyah. That's Shehiyah. What is, after Shehiyah, let's say it was on the flame, going into Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos, now you took it off, and you want to put it back on. That's called Hachazara, returning. Hachazara is only relevant if there was an initial Shehiyah going into Shabbos. It was initially on the fire going Shabbos. Now you return. It's like Tshuva. You have to know where we're returning to. So Hachazara means you're returning to the initial Shehiyah. If there was no initial Shehiyah, was not on the flame Friday going into Shabbos, you cannot discuss Hachazara. Then you're already into the next issue, which we'll get to. Hachazara, though, means it was on the fire going into Shabbos, and now you want to you took it off, and now you want to return it to the fire. But it has not lost its connection with the initial Shehiyah. It has not become so far off the Derech. And it was on the fire Friday going into Shabbos. If you do not have either of those two conditions, either it lost its connection with the initial Shehiyah, or it was in the refrigerator Friday Bein HaShemashes, then you cannot discuss HaChazara. Then you're ready into the next topic. But even HaChazara is usher. If it was on the fire Friday going into Shabbos, I don't know how, fully cooked, whatever, and now, or it was on a covered flame, now you took it off, you want to put it back, let's say it was fully cooked. Now it's fully cooked Friday going into Shabbos. Fine, great. Now you took it off. And it has not lost its connection with the initial Shehiyah, which we'll explain what that means. Now you want to put it back on top of the fire? That's usser. That is usser. Why is that Aser? So there's a big machlekes of Rishonim as to why that is Aser. It's machlekes between the Ran and Rabbeinu Tam. The Shaar HaTzion here quotes it. Sivkot Lamed Zayin. The Ran held that it's Aser because of Mechzikim of Ashel. It looks like you're cooking. It's Bishul Midrabanan. Here I am taking a dish and putting it on top of a fire on Shabbos. Ah, it looks like you're cooking. What they call Bishul Midrabanan or Mechzikim of Ashel. Mechzikim of Ashel is just like saying Bishul Midrabanan. Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer Yosha says, no, it's because they're afraid Shemi Yechata B'Gecholim. You might come to stoke the coals. Why are you going to stoke the coals? It's fully cooked. By Shehiel, we said, if it's fully cooked, you're not going to stoke the coals. The answer is, because now it's cold. You took it off to serve or to do whatever you want to do, and now you want to put it back on. It cooled off, and now someone else wants some more. You might come to stoke the coals. So how do you get around the problem of Hachazara? If it's a covered flame, now you, if it hasn't it had an initial Shia and hasn't lost its connection with the initial Shia, you can do Hachazara, you can return it to a covered flame. Why does that work? So for the Ran, it's because there's no longer Mechzikim of Ashel. Hey, there's something funny over here. Why are you returning on top of a covered flame? That tells you the guy's not cooking. It must have been fully cooked. And the Rabbeinu Tam will say, because it will remind you not to come to stoke the coals. So that's the heter of Group of Tuma and the Yisr of Hachazara. How do we paskin, like the Ran or like Rabbeinu Tam? So Rabbi Willig made a test case. And from this test case, everything emanated. So I hope you picked up on that. His test case was two test cases. And he quoted this from the Or Sameach. Or Sameach has this pshat. Or Sameach says, this machlokes harishayim is lishitasam in two other areas. One is with regards to Hachazara Me'er of Shabbos. Hachazara Me'er of Shabbos is kind of like an oxymoron. We said Shehia means it's on the flame Friday going into Shabbos. How can you have Hachazara and Erev Shabbos? What the issue at hand is let's say you had an item that was on a flame on Friday, meaning it's cooked. It's fully cooked food. Shehia in general is uncooked food. Here, this is fully cooked food. It had it on Shehia. When was your Shehia? Not Friday going into Shabbos. Your Shehia was Friday afternoon when it got cooked. Then you took it off or it got cold. It didn't lose its connection with the initial Shehia when it first got cooked. It's, you put it, I don't know, it's got cold in the interim. Now you want to put it back on the flame, not on Shabbos, you want to put it back on the flame Friday going into Shabbos. But it's not, you're not going to put it on with enough time that it should get hot, but if it would have been cold, it should get hot before Shabbos. You want to put it on right before Shabbos. So you want to return something to a flame right before Shabbos. So close to Shabbos, that if it would have been cold, if it's hot, it doesn't make a difference. If it would have been cold, it would not have had time to get hot. So what's the fear? The fear could be one of two things. The fear, presumably, is that you might come to stoke the coals. Let's say I put on fully cooked chicken, right before Shabbos. So now, it might not heat up in time for the meal, so I might come to stoke the coals. So Tosis writes that that's also, you're not allowed to put cold food or something that if it would have been cold, it wouldn't have had time to heat up before Shabbos, you're not allowed to put it on an uncovered flame going into Shabbos, even though it's fully cooked, because you might come to stoke the coals. And the Ran says that's allowed. What? Hachazara, you're returning something, it's fully cooked. So you're returning it to the flame, not that it was on the flame Friday going into Shabbos, it was on the flame Friday afternoon. But you want to put fully cooked food on an uncovered flame going into Shabbos. Oh, you might come to stoke the coals once Shabbos comes to make it warm. The Ran says, nah, that was never the problem of Hachazara. The problem is not you're going to come to stoke the coals. The problem was because it's Mechzikim of Ashel, it's Bishul Midrabanan. It looks like you're cooking. So Friday, you can't have an Ishter of Bishul. Bishul can only be on Shabbos, not on Friday. So Rabbi Wilk understood this issue, or Sameach understands, this issue is dependent on the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ran. Tosis is going with the Rabbeinu Tam, it's an issue of Shem Yechata B'Kacholim, so you could even, can't even do Hachazara, meaning return something to a flame, even if it's fully cooked, it's so close to Shabbos, it would have been cold, wouldn't have had time to heat up, because you might come to stoke the coals on Shabbos, and the Ran held that it was Mutter, because there's only, it's an issue of Bishul Midrabanan, there's no issue of Bishul Midrabanan on Friday. How do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch, his Mekel never brings it up. So from that, Rabbi Wilg understood the Shulchan Aruch is on the record. He understands like the Ran Hachazara is also because of Mechzikim of Ashel. And done, finished. Shulchan Aruch is on the Mechzikim of Ashel. We got to pick a team. Shulchan Aruch is on the Mechzikim of Ashel team. The Ramah in Sif Beis says it's Toiv LaHachmir not to do this issue, not to put something on the flame so close to Shabbos that if it would have been cold, it wouldn't have had time to heat up. People do this all the time, by the way. So you have to be careful about this. Unless there's a blech. But if there's no blech, so you can't put stuff up on an uncovered flame close to Shabbos, so close to Shabbos, it would have been cold. We wouldn't have had time to heat up. The Rambam writes about this Toiv LaAchmir. So it will be understood that he's paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. We now paskin on the record. HaChazara is also because of Shema Yechata B'Gecholim. That's the Rambam. End. Finished. Done. Another issue, Vishitasoi, that Dor Sameach brings up, or we also thought that this is a litmus test, is with regards to Smicha. The show that the Gemara has a Ibaya, Bayi, Ma'um Lismoich. Are you allowed to do smicha? Smicha means to put it close to the flame, but not on the flame. So the assumption is, when the Gemara says, Mahu lismach, are you allowed to do smicha? So the Gemara concludes that it's mutter. But the Rishonim of a Machlokes, is that only talking about shehiyah? Let's say you want to put an uncooked food next to the flame going into Shabbos. That's allowed, for sure. Shehiyah is allowed. What about hachazara? Can you return something on Shabbos next to the flame if it's not on the flame? It was on the flame Friday going into Shabbos. Now you want to put it back, not on the flame, and you lost, you're not allowed to return, so, but it's not covered, but you want to put it next to the flame, not on the flame. So you're allowed to do hachazara bismicha, that's a machlekes harishonim. The Rif says no, you're not allowed to. And Taisus understood that hachazara is also mutter. The Rif said smicha is aser, and Taisus says hachazara is mutter. So Dor Sameach says that's because the Rif is going l'shitasoi. That the Isser of HaKhazar is because of Mechzikim of Ashel. This looks like you're cooking too if you put it near the flame. One could have argued and said, no, it doesn't look like you're cooking. That's the Or Sameach. The Or Sameach says, it looks like you're cooking if it's next to the flame. But there's no Shema Yechateh unless it's on the flame. So Taisus was Mako to do HaKhazar B'smicha. Taisus L'shitasa, like Rabbeinu Tam, that HaKhazar is also because of Shema Yechateh B'Gecholim. There's no Shema Yechateh B'Gecholim. It's on the flame, not next to the flame. But Mechzikim of Ashel can exist next to the flame, even if it's not on the flame. So again, over here, we are Mako, with regards to all is mixed up in this confusion of Sif Aleph, we're Mako to do Smicha B'Chazara. So Rabbi Willig, Mishnah Berurah talks about it. So Rabbi Willig understood, that's L'shitaseinu, that we hold the Yisuf HaChazara as one of Shem Yechata B'Gecholim, so Smicha is allowed. One could have argued with Dor Sameach and said, no, there's Shem Yechata if it's next to, and no Mechzikim of Ashel if it's next to, but that's the way we will understand. Okay, so that's the way we are going to move forward. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that Hachazar is also because of Shem of Mechzikim of Ashel. The Ramah held is because of Shem Yechat to be Gechom, with the two Nafkaminos being Smicha is allowed, and you shouldn't do Hachazar Meir of Shabbos. So Hachazar returning to a flame is Aser, unless it is a covered flame. Does it have to be that? Yeah.
When the Ramah said Tov L'Hachmir, the Ramah took
I'm just with you.
Okay.
He said Toiv L'Achmir. One could have said Meikra Din. He doesn't hold like that. But we understood from the fact that he said Toiv L'Achmir, he's sympathetic to the idea that Shem Yechata B'Gecholim. When you are returning, so it has to be that it didn't lose its connection with the initial Shehiyah. Let's say you want to put on a different flame. Does it have to have a relationship with that fire? Or can we be more open in this relationship? Can it have a relationship with one fire and then transfer to a different fire? Does it have to have with that exact fire? So that's actually an Ibaya in the Gemara. Pina mimechem lamechem mahu. Let's say you want to move it from one fire to another fire. Is that called hachazara? Is that called nesina mechadosh? It's on a new flame. The Gemara is talking about moving one pot from one flame to another flame. Is that called hachazara? Is that called nesina mechadosh? So it's a machlekes we shine him out of paskin, and the Sharatzin over here, Sivka and Mem Zayin, talks about this. The Magen Avraham is machmir, that you cannot do this, and the Mishnah Berurah argues l'kula. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, you can take one pot from one flame, let's say from your hot plate, and move it to your blech, vice versa. So too, perhaps you could take water from a crock pot, from an urn, and put it in your crock pot if you see it's drying out. However, the Shulchan Aruch says over here, Siv Dalet, not to do that. Yesh limchais biyad hanoigim. We have to argue against those. What did they do? They put in, they were matmin. They insulated hot water Friday going into Shabbos, and with intention to put it into the crock pot when the cholent will dry out. So it's a big problem. This is Nesina Mechadosh. It's a big problem. I don't know why. It must be you're going to take the crock pot off the flame or it's not on the flame. I don't understand. The Chazon Ish brings that up. He said, what happened to Nesina Mechadosh? But the Mishnah Berurah says that was only a problem of taking the insulated water and putting it into the Tavshil because we're afraid it's not hot anymore. We're afraid the insulated water cooled down and now you're going to violate Bishul. That's why Rabbeinu Yoina was against it. But let's say the hot water that you're using is itself on a fire, and now you want to transfer that to the crock pot. So then that sounds like that wouldn't be a problem. The Mishnah Berurah in Pei Dalet says the real chashash is one of Bishol. We're afraid the water that you were makmin is not hot anymore because it's not on the flame. But if it would be on a flame, then perhaps you'd be able to put it into the crock pot. The Beis Yosef raises another issue, though, on that Sif Dalet in the name of the Rajba. No, he's afraid because the Rabbeinu Yonah was also concerned when you pour the water in, you're going to stir the cholent. You pour your water in, you're stirring the cholent. So therefore, I think Rabbi Eider says that if you want to do this, you should make sure to pour benachas, pour it slowly into the cholent. But if it was on a flame, it sounds like it's not. We're not afraid to cool down. It's not. You weren't just insulating it. If it was on a flame. You want to put it out into your crock pot. That should be allowed. Pinam imechem lemechem. You take the water from this flame and put it into this flame. Should be allowed as long as you pour into it slowly. The Shmir Shabbos Kochas is even makel to put it into a mug and then put it into your crock pot. Others are not sure about this. Rabbi Eider, and I think the Shmir Shabbos quotes from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, who are not so excited about this. Because once you put the water into a klisheni, now already maybe the water has a halachic status of uncooked. It loses its connection with the shehiya when you put it into a klisheni. See, pina mimechem lemechem is you're taking a pot from this flame and moving the pot to this flame. But it's always in the klirishon. Once you put it into a klisheni, we don't know what happens with that. Maybe it loses its connection with the shehiya. So the Shmir Shabbos Kochos is mekel to put it into the mug and move to the cholent. But what the others recommend is to take the cholent and move the Muhammad to the mountain. Take the cholent and move it to the urn. And have in mind to put back the cholent.
The first way, it's not urine.
You're going to take water from the urn, put it into the cup. Now it's in a klisheni. Ah, it's in a klisheni. I don't know. That's not what pina mimechem lemechem was. Pina mimechem lemechem is take the klisheni.
Even when you pour from the
klisheni into the cholent.
Meaning it's
iroi
and it's going back.
Oh, it's iroi. So, yeah, but they I don't know. They bring up the fact. I hear your point. But you were. I hear your point. Yeah. So others are machmir to take the cholent out and bring it to the urn. The problem is, if you're going to put that together, there'll be wilux chumro. You can't put the cholent back. If you have a real crock pot, you got to be careful how you negotiate them. Yeah.
Is
that
a
machmir? I don't know. The Magen Avraham is machmir. The Mishnah Berurah argues with kula. Once the Mishnah Berurah argues with kula, you're not going to find that many machmir. I wasn't sure, though, myself, according to Beit Willig, though, you should still have a problem. Even if I bring the water to the cholent pot, I always mean to ask him, even if you're going to bring the water to the cholent pot, I'm returning the water. I'm taking the water from this flame and returning it to this flame. But you're returning the water now to inside a crock pot. Unless you'll say the water is batel to the cholent. But you're returning water, basically, to inside of a crock pot. So then I don't see how you could ever add water to the cholent for Beit Willig. Unless it's on his west bend.
Or
it's on the hot plate. Well, I don't see how you could ever take water and put it for Rabbi Willig and put it into one of those real crock pots that make the good cholent. I don't see how you could ever put that into. It should always be hachazara l'teichai. Which brings us to the next issue of hachazara l'teichai. So hachazara is mutter if it's onto a covered flame. You can, if it hasn't lost its connection with the initial shehiyah, there was an initial shehiyah, was on the fire Friday going into Shabbos, hasn't lost its connection with that shehiyah, you want to return it to another flame, that is also unless it's covered. So the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Beis says even when it's covered, it's only mutata on top. To put it to inside a heating utensil, that not. So Mishnah Berurah explains this of Katan Nun Ches, even though Hachazara might be also because of Shami Echad Begecholim, to put it inside is also because of Mechzikim of Ashel. And there even a blech won't help you. So Hachazara the Teichai is also even if you have a blech. You can never do Hachazara the Teichai. So Rabbi Eider quotes from Rabbi Aaron Cutler is arguing that's because in those days the Iker Bishol was inside the oven. So there's more Mechzikim of Ashel inside the oven than on top. But nowadays, argues Rabbi Aaron, we cook just as much on top, on the stovetop, as you do in the oven. They're equal. Neither one is superior to the other one. Therefore, this whole Chumra of Teichai goes away. So Rabbi Aaron doesn't hold to this whole thing. So according to Rabbi Aaron, you can buy mishav your cake and eat it too. You could do hachazara to inside of an oven, no problem. There's no isur hachazara l'teichai. Oh, how are you going to make a groof of tuma? No problem. Cover the dials. So the mami coolas.
Why isn't everything?
According to Rabbi Moshe, you have
Why isn't everything tovul according to Rabbi Aaron?
Why do you ask for everything?
Ask for everything. I don't know. No, it's because it's a chumrah, because that was the ikar place. Now there is no ikar place. That's the chumrah of the main place. Now we don't have a main place. Huh? Yeah. But Rabbi Willig understood, not like Rabbi Aaron, that and therefore, I think Rabbi Moshe also argues on Rabbi Aaron. So therefore, it should always be also then to do achazara to inside of an oven. Besides the fact that it can't have for Moshe, it'll be hard to have gufa k'tuma in an oven. But even so, even by a crock pot where you could have gufa k'tuma, Rabbi Willig brought up that you should never be able to do achazara to inside of a crock pot. It should always be achazara l'toichai. By a warming drawer, so Rabbi Willig held that we could be meiko. Why? Or hot box like they have in the shuls. Why? Because a whole vart in a chumrah of teicha is because it's mechzi kimavasha. It looks like you're cooking. Oh, you're putting stuff in an oven on Shabbos, you're cooking. So on top, we see the blech, all right. But inside of an oven, since it's rav havle, since it got hotter or something, you couldn't do achazara to inside. It's more, it looks like you're cooking more. But we'll tell that's only by a utensil that actually cooks. If it's a warming drawer, a hot box, nobody cooks in these hot boxes. Nobody cooks in the warming drawers. So then they should not have the chumrah of teicha. So you could do achazara inside of a warming drawer as long as it's grufo k'tuma. The challenge will be making a warming drawer grufo k'tuma. So by will held, I think you have to have tinfoil coming on the bottom. All the newer svarim that talk about this say you have to have tinfoil on the bottom, even though the heating element is on top. You should have tinfoil on the bottom because that's where people look. They look at the tinfoil on the bottom. And by will held, it also has to come sticking out of the warming drawer so that you see it before you open the drawer. Once you open the drawer, right, it's too late, Kimat. So he says it has to be that it's sticking out and over the drawer. And then I think he threw on also you should cover the dials too, or tough petit, whatever, as many chumras as you could do over here to cover, make the drawer a grufo k'tuma. Yeah? No, I don't know why. I have investigated this issue and thought about it for a long time. I don't know why it does. Nobody else brings this up. I tried to get a wiggle out of it. I tried to wiggle out of every wiggle shot. I don't know. He seems to be right. I'm not upset about it. I'm just saying I don't know why no one else brings it up. It's a good chop. Why is no one... Okay. Good. That's if it was on the fire going Friday into Shabbos and it hasn't lost its connection with Ishul Shehiyah. Let's say it was not on the flame Friday going into Shabbos. It was in the refrigerator. Or it went off the derek. It lost its connection with the initial Shehiyah. That is now called Hanacha B'tchila. Or whatever you want to call it, Shehiyah Rishayna, whatever. All the svarim have different terms. Everybody's discussing the same thing. So Hanacha B'tchila is a separate Iser. When the Paiskim discuss the contemporary svarim, or every girl's in seminary learns Hilchos Bisho, learns about the five conditions of Hachazara. So there are five conditions, and most of them are not because of Hachazara. It's a little bit of a misnomer. Some of them are because of Bisho. Some of them are because of Hachazara, and some of them are in order to retain its connection with the initial Shehiyah, so it shouldn't be Hanacha B'tchila. And it's going to become very relevant. It's not such so important to point out, but it's going to become very relevant with regards to Rabbi Willig's Mahalech over here, in terms of the Tanoi Chazara. So let's just, I would like to go through the five conditions of Hachazara, discuss which one relates to which issue, and then we'll discuss what the premise is, what the basis is for the... certain conditions, and we will pshat in Hanacha B'tchila. So the first condition of Achazara that the Sfarim talk about is that it has to be Mavushal Kol Tzarko. Mavushal Kol Tzarko is a Bishul issue. That is not a Hachazara issue or a Hanacha B'tchila issue at all. That's because a Bishul issue. And we're machmir for the Rambam that there's Bishul, even though it's cooked Kamacha Ben Dusoy, unless it's cooked Mavushal Kol Tzarko, there's an issue of Bishul. So according to the Ramah, the old Ramah that we discussed at length, even once it's, unless it's Nitzdan in the Gamre, you're not going to have, if it's fully cooked, liquids too, as long as it's fully cooked, and it's not in its time like Amra, you're not going to have a problem of Bishul. Okay, but Mavushal Kol Tzarko is a Bishul issue. The second condition of Achazara that they mention is it has to be Odenu Cham. It has to still be hot. So that is Machlaikas between the Groa and the Magen Avraham. What is that about? Is that a condition in retaining its connection with the initial Shehiyah, meaning in order to allow Hanacha B'tchila to take something out and put it on an uncovered flame, put it on any flame, even a covered flame is going to be Yasser. Hanacha B'tchila is always Yasser, even a covered flame. So what is Odenu Cham about? Is that about retaining its connection with the initial Shehiyah to avoid Hanacha B'tchila? Or is that about Bishol? So Mishnah Berurah and Sivkan Sadi Aleph quotes from the Gra that it's only a whole condition of Odenu Cham that the Ramah mentions that it should still be hot. It's only talking about liquids. Because the Ramah, she tossed it, there shouldn't be Nitzdan in the Gamre. So it should still be Odenu Cham, hot. But it's a Bishul issue. not a hachazara or retaining a connection with the initial shahiyah issue. The Bir Halacha though over there, Dimrasu Uvilvad, quotes from the Magen Avraham that no, this is about retaining a connection with the initial shahiyah. If it's still hot, that's hachazara and it's mutter onto a covered flame. If it's cold, it lost its connection with the initial shahiyah. That's hanacha betchila now, and that's went off the derech, and now it's a problem. Now it's a problem. So according to the Magen Avraham, even a kugel has to be hot. Because if it's not hot, it lost its connection with the initial shahiyah. Whereas according to the Gra, a kugel would not have to be hot. Even if it's cold, it would be would not necessarily mean it lost its connection with the initial shahiyah. So Mishnah Brura is make like the Gra, that it's a bishul issue. And many assume like that. It's a big chumer. You're going to be machmer from the Magen Avraham, it'd be a big chumer. So the the first two conditions that they quote about conditions of chazar probably have nothing to do with chazar or hanacha betchila. The bishul issues, the fact that being mavishul kotzarko and still hot. There are two that clearly have to do with retaining a connection with the initial shia. There's no machlokes about this. It's not really conditions of hachazar. Hachazar is mutter onto a covered flame, and it's also if it's a non-covered flame. These two items are with regards to what's called retaining a connection with the initial shia, so that is chazara and not hanacha betchila. And that is that it has to be loy henicha gabi karka and daito lahachzir. The Gemara says if your henicha gabi karka lost its connection with the initial shahiyah, and now it's not even hachazara, it's hanacha betchila. Then there's two lishanis in the Gemara. Do you also need daito lahachzir, or do you not need daito lahachzir? Lichat chila, we're machmir to have both loy henicha gabi karka and daito lahachzir. But the Bir Halacha mentions if you have loy henicha gabi karka, even though you didn't have daito lahachzir, if it's oyde biyodo, even though you didn't have daito lahachzir, b'di'evad, you could be mekel to put it back. Because the daito lahachzir is two lishanis in the Gemara. The other way not. You can't just get away with daito lahachzir. That was the one we're not sure if you need it. But henicha gabe karka, even if it's daito lahachzir, then maybe the Ran will help you. But for the mainstream lishanim, that won't help you. But daito lahachzir was debatable in the Gemara, so therefore if it was lo henicha gabe karka. And even if you didn't have daito lahachzir, the Bir Halacha is mekel b'di'evad to put it back. The Shulchan Aruch's opinion in Sif Beis is that it's only a problem if you put it onto the ground. The Ramah adds, no, with regards to Lai Nicha Gabi Karka, it doesn't mean Lai Nicha Gabi Karka, it means it's Oida B'yado. It still needs to be in your hand. And even if you put it on a bench, but you didn't put it on the ground, it would still be a problem. It has to still be in your hand. The Sfarim say it doesn't have to be suspended. You don't have to keep it in suspended animation, you know, up holding off the counter. It could be on the counter, but it's still in your hand. Your hand still has to be on it. That shows, represents that you still intend to put it back. Tachazar. But you don't have to keep it suspended like that. The Bir Halacha says, if you had daito lahachzir, and all you did was put it down on a bench. So if you had daito lahachzir, but you didn't have the Ramah, you had the Shulchan Aruch, but the Yevedis, he talks about being mako. Why? Because you have the Shulchan Aruch and you have Daito Lahachzir, even though you don't have the Ramah, you put it down on a bench, so he mentions being Mekel. What is the status of countertops? Is that called Karka? Is that like a Safsal? So that's a big machlokes of contemporary Sfarim. We don't put things on the ground anymore. So some hold the countertop is like Karka, you don't even have the Shulchan Aruch. But I think the majority of Poskim, or Shlomo Zalman, or Rabbi Yashiv, no, it's for the Shulchan Aruch, you have to put it on the ground, mamish. You put it on the countertop, that's like a Safsal. And others held that our countertop nowadays is karka. Nobody puts anything on the ground. We don't even put the garbage on the ground. We don't even put a pot on the ground. So anyway, that's the story. You need both. You need oyde biyodai for the Ramah and daito lahachzir. What does daito lahachzir mean? Does that mean I have to have intention to put it back? Or does that mean if I don't have intention to put it back, it lost its connection with the initial shiyah? Meaning, is it proactive? My das to put it back retains its connection? Or no, when I don't have das to put it back, it loses its connection. What will be the difference? Is the machlekes of Akiva Eger and of Shach about stam das. Let's say I'm not thinking. Most husbands. Guy takes it off. He doesn't know what he's thinking. He's trying to help. And he's, as usually happens, doing wrong. So he didn't have a mind to not put it back. He didn't have a mind to put it back. What's stam das? So Rekiva Eger is Mako. No, the problem is when you have das not to put it back. Rav Shach holds, no, well, you need proactive das to put it back. That's what retains its connection. If you're stam das, you manage walking through life like a zombie, then that doesn't help. It lost its connection with the initial shia because he didn't have das to put it back. This comes up not only by a person who doesn't know what he's doing. It'll happen. A guy takes something off betos also. Let's say a guy takes something off. Oh, I didn't mean to take it off. So if the pshat is when you have a known of a mind to take it off, when you have a mind not to put it back, that loses its connection. Here you didn't really, it was a toast. But if the pshat is you need das to keep the connection, then maybe even by mistake would be a problem. The place can also bring up, what if the electricity goes out? Now you want to move it to a different flame. So is that called daita lahafzir? Nobody had any in mind anything over here. You wake up in the morning, electricity's out. So, if it's a solid and you want to put it back, it's on. Did it lose its connection with the initial shia? So it's on the. Still, it was on a flame. Now you want to put it on a different flame. Is that called daita lahafzir or not? So that'll be stam das. That'll be this machlekes between Rabbi Kiva Eger and Rav Shach. Yeah. Toes would be, yeah, it could be you could get out of this problem because if you had either the other.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Person can quote this big muffin. Either way, but the Yevin, many though are maker like the Ran. The Ramah over here quotes a Ran that whole Gemara about either the other and Daito Lahachzir is only if you took it off Friday. And at the time of Bein Hashmashos, Erev Shabbos, it wasn't on any flame. But if it was on the flame, then you don't need Daito Lahachzir and Oida Biyodo. Or Lohinicho Gavikarka. You don't need that. It retains its connection with the initial Shahir no matter what. Whether it's, no matter what, but you don't need Daito Lahachzir and Lohinicho Gavikarka. Those were only talking about another time. It wasn't talking about, if it was on the flame, Erev Shabbos, you can't lose its connection with the initial Shahir. And the Ramah quotes the Ran, and he says, "V'toyv la'achmir." The Chazon Ish writes, "No, that the whole Ran is based on a mistake." And Rabbi Bullock said, "Chayv la'achmir," not "toyv la'achmir." But they quote that the Rav was Mekel. I mean, the Shirim of the Rav that they published, Rabbi Shechter's notes. I think everybody knows this: that the Rav in Boston, the Rav was Mekel like the Ran. In order to be Mekel like the Ran, though, you also have to assume something else. The Ran adds, it still has to be hot. Oh, what is still hot about? So it could be still, according to the Magen Avraham, still hot is about retaining a connection with the initial Shia, meaning even the Ran has his standards. If it's cold, it lost its connection with the initial Shia. No. And the Gemara will tell you, no, this is a Bishul issue. That means if it's a liquid, it has to still be hot. If it's a Kugel, it ain't Bishul Acha Bishul. So it doesn't have to still be hot. So the Rav's Kua, about relying on the Ran, assumes like the Gemara. He points this out. But if you assume like the Magen Avraham, then the whole cooler of the Ran won't really help you that much because it still has to be hot. If you can't put stuff, if it was on the blech, on the fire Friday going into Shabbos, you can't put it back on, and you put it in the refrigerator Friday night, you can't put it back on the blech Shabbos morning. It's cold if you hold like the Magen Avraham. But if you hold like the Gra, that it's only a problem by liquids, you could heat up kugels Shabbos morning on a blech, even though you put it in the refrigerator Friday night. The Paiskim, though, in the Yeshiva, Rabbi Willig, Rabbi Shechter, do not accept to rely on this Ran, even though there was a Rav Shita in Boston, and many, everybody knows about it. They don't rely, they understood that that was, I don't know, you could talk to them, but they don't rely on that L'chachila in our context. Yes? Oh, yeah? Good. I'm just reporting what the Paiskim now here say. Yes? Right.
Where's the Ran's case of Oda Biyodo and Daito Lahachzir? How could you ever have a food that's on the fire that wasn't on Erev Shabbos?
How could you ever
have a food that's on Erev Shabbos? It had to be on Erev Shabbos, right. Otherwise even Israel not on the field.
Right. I don't know, we need to, I forgot, I have to look up the Ran again. But the Ran says it's not toy. If it was on the fire of Shabbos, you don't need these things.
Yeah.
Maybe it's talking about you took it off, and now you want to put it back on Shabbos. Maybe that's where you need it. I think that's the case. Is that the case? You took it off Friday. You waited till Shabbos starts. Now you want to put it back on. Yeah, that's it.
And
so
on the back, no.
It can't be Friday, Erev Shabbos. There's no Yisrael Chazor Erev Shabbos. I think he's talking about you took it off Friday, and now you want to put it back on an hour after Shabbos starts. Then it needs to be other by other than Daito Lahachzir, yeah. The Rabbi Willig pointed out he thinks that the even if one could rely on the Ran, but the Yevid, we always rely on the Ran. If a person puts something back on, we talked about what the Halacha is, Hachazara by accident the last time. If you always have the Ran, you make up with the Yevid like the Ran. Rabbi Shah said, clearly you make it like the Ran.
It still has to be.
It still has to be, of course. Grufa Ketumah. All that this does is it retains its connection with initial Shahiyah. But it makes it hachazara. But it still has to be, of course, Guf Aktuma. Hachazara needs Guf Aktuma. So we will point it out from the fact that it needs to be Guf Aktuma, that it's no better than hachazara. So it's just hachazara is also the toichai. So then the Ran can't help you. You can't do hachazara the toichai. Hachazara, it can't be no better than hachazara. All this does is retain this connection with the initial shiur. But since hachazara is also the toichai, so even for the Ran, you should not be allowed, who holds, you could take stuff that was on the flame Friday going to the Shabbos, you put it in the refrigerator Friday night, put it back on the flame, a covered flame on Shabbos, you can't do it to Teichai. Teichai will not work. However, if you read the Mishnah Berurah carefully, Mishnah Berurah seems to be saying, Rabbi Wilk pointed this out, Mishnah Berurah seems to be saying, you could even do Achazara L'Teichai for the Ran. Will gave a long shot just to explain that that is not true. He feels that that's not the case. How could it be better than Hachazara itself, which you cannot do L'Teicha? So according then, even if you rely on the Ran, you have this cool, even if you rely on it L'Chachilo, you can't take stuff that was in the refrigerator and put it back into the oven on Shabbos day. However, if you read the Mishnah Berurah, he seems to, he might be indicating that. Okay, so what is the Easter? If it lost its connection with the initial Shehiya, so then it's not Hakazar, it's Hanacha B'Tchila. What is the nature of that Iser? What we mean by that is, what is the basis behind Oda B'Yado and Daita L'Achzer, basically? Why do you need these two conditions? What is problem does it solve? So Rabbeinu Tam writes, because Hanacha B'Tchila is Aser, if you had something that wasn't on the flame Friday going to the Shabbos, you can't even put it on a covered flame. Why not? Hakazar could do it on a covered flame. But if it were never on the flame Friday going into Shabbos, or was, but it lost its connection with the initial Shehiya, so you can't even put on a covered flame. Why not? So Rabbeinu this Tam understood that's because Shemi Yechad B'Gecholim. How could all these things be because of Shemi Yechad B'Gecholim? The answer is because there's different gradations of how excited you are about stoking the coals. Hachazara, it just got cold. Here, it's mamish freezing. Now you might even pick up the blech to stoke the coals. So it's even also onto a covered flame. And the Ran understood, of course, that this Hanacha B'Tchila is also because of Merzi Kimavasho. Rabbi Willig, though, suggested that perhaps there is a hybrid pshat. Perhaps there is a pshat that holds that even though Hakazara is also because of Maxikim of Shemi Echad B'Kacham, as we already proved from the case of Hakazara Me'er Shabbos and from Smicha, which were Meiko on, by Hakazara, were Machmir and Ev Shabbos, were Meiko by Smicha, that we must hold the Shemi Echad B'Kacham, it could be Anocha B'Tchila will be also because of Maxikim of Asha. Why would you all of a sudden switch, switch course? Because again, back to the old litmus case, everything is based on this one case of Hachazar Me'ar of Shabbos. When you want to put something on a flame Friday going into Shabbos, so close to Shabbos that it would have been cold, wouldn't have had time to heat up, do you need Oida B'Yodo and Daito L'Hachzi, or you just need a covered flame? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Gra, the Mishnah Berurah, Sivka and Ayin Beis, quotes from the Gra that understood in the Rosh, and the Taisus HaRosh, if you had a Ram like that, that you do not need Oda B'Yodo and Daita L'Achzer. All you need is a covered flame. Meaning, Hanacha B'Tchila is Mutter, Erev Shabbos. Even though Hachazara is Aser, Erev Shabbos, these Rishonim held Hanacha B'Tchila is Mutter. Meaning, you don't need, how could it be Hanacha B'Tchila is Mutter and Hachazara is Aser? It makes no sense. What it means is you don't need Oda B'Yodo and Daita L'Achzer, even though you do need Guf Oktuma. So Rabbi Wilga understood, must be either the other and Daita L'Hachzer are here to solve a problem of Merzi Kimavasho. Hanacha B'Tchila is a problem of Merzi Kimavasho. Whereas Hachazara is a problem of Shemi Echad B'Gecholim. So in your five conditions of Hachazara, of which two are Bisha related, one we're going to call is Hachazara related, that's Grufo Ktuma, it has to be a covered flame. That's because of Shemi Echad B'Gecholim. And either the other and Daita L'Hachzer, to retain a connection with initial Shehiya, if you don't have them, will be a problem because of Merzi Kimavasho. So for Rabbi Wilk, Mamish, everything is moving in a lot of moving parts. Rav Shechter rejected this whole thing. He held the whole Hachazar Me'er of Shabbos is not like the Or Sameach understood. This was an issue of Shehiya on Erev Shabbos by cooked food. The Rishonim introduced an issue of Shehiya, Erev Shabbos, by cooked food. Shehiya normally by uncooked food. The Rishonim said, if you put it up so close to Shabbos, it would have been cold, it wouldn't have time to get up. There's an issue of Shehiya by cooked food. But it's nothing to do with Hachazara. This is an issue of Shehiya. That's why Grufo Ktuma helps, and that's why no one ever heard of B'Yado and Daita L'Achzer by Shehiya. Shehiya makes no sense, Oida B'Yado and Daita L'Achzer. But Rabbi Willig understood it along the lines, once you accept Or Sameach's Lomdus, he took it even further. But according to Shechter, the whole thing, everything is because of Shemi Yechat B'Gachal. Shechter is manalikul over here. Same shot all the way through. Everything is Shemi Yechat B'Gachal, none of the... you don't have the moving parts, like Rabbi Willig. This issue is also related, how you come out on this issue is also related, again, the second litmus test we had was smicha. So Mishnah Berurah over here, Sivkat and Tezvav, discusses, what about smicha? Do you need either biyado and daito lahachzir? Or, meaning, is only hachazara mutter? Or is even hanachu betchila mutter by smicha? So that's a machlaikas within the shita that holds, within the shita of Taisus, that hachazara is mutter by smicha. What about hanachu betchila? So that's two opinions in the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkat and Tezvav, machlaikas would be kiva eger and the dog of Mervava. So Rabbi Willig felt we should pass on Rabbi Kiva Eger. Abir Halacha quotes it. Also, Sharat Tzion, Nuk, Sifka, and Yutes, Chaf Aleph, all discuss this machlekes. So Rabbi Willig held, oh, Rabbi Kiva Eger is gevaldik. Why? Hachazara is mutter b'smicha, but Hanocha b'tchila is aser. Why? Because Hachazara is aser Shem Yichad b'lchov, there's no Shem Yichad b'lchov on the side of the fire, but there is Mechzikim of Ashel, so Hanocha b'tchila is aser. Rabbi Kiva Eger is gevaldik. Rav Shechter in Eretz HaTzvi quotes that he thinks we should pass it like the Dagam Ravava. So why? Because everything is Shemi Echatu B'Kacholim. So even Hanachu B'Tchila is Shemi Echatu B'Kacholim. So that's Mutter B'Smicha. So you could do even Hanachu B'Tchila by Smicha. And others go with that pshat too. Everything is Shemi Echatu B'Kacholim. But Rabbi Willig had his moving parts. There's a few applications for Rabbi Willig's nuanced approach. The first of which is, he applied it to a few different settings. The first of which is with regards to Amir al-Anachri. The Ramah writes in Sif Hey, whenever HaKazara is Aser, it's Aser even to ask Anachri to do it. Why not allowed to ask Anachri to do it? It should have been a heter of Shvus to Shvus, but Mokom Einik Shabbos. What am I asking Anachri to do? Heat up food for me. I need it for Shabbos. It's chulent. So Shvus to Shvus, but Mokom Einik Shabbos. So it should have been allowed. HaKazara is Aser, Shem Yechat B'Kechalim, Shvus, Amir al-Anachri is a Shvus, Shvus to Shvus, B'Mokom Mitzvah. Avaynik Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah said, no, the problem is Bishul. We're afraid that Amir al-Anachri is going to violate Bishul, not HaKazar, which is the Rabbanim, but Bishul Dairaisa. Maybe you'll ask him to put back soup or cholent, which is cold. Let's say, though, it's a solid food, not liquid. There's no chashash of Bishul. It's one that's cooked already, fully cooked. So that's two opinions in the Bira Halacha. Can you say Shvus to Shvus, but Mokom Mitzvah to allow Anachri to do HaKazar for you? So what are they arguing about? So we'll claim that they're arguing about what is the nature of Hanachah B'Tchil, what is the nature of HaChazara. If its nature is because it's Shemi Echad to be Gecholim, asking a Nachri doesn't help. Why? Because the Chazanish calls HaChazara, if it's Shemi Echad to be Gecholim, the Chazanish calls it an Easter Matzav. It's an Easter situation. You can't have cold food or uncooked food or HaChazara food on top of an uncovered flame. Because you might come to stoke the coals, so no matter who put it there. So the Nachri might put it there, but I might come to stoke the coals. So you can't be mekel shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah, because there's no shvus to shvus here. It's just one shvus. I might come to stoke the coals. So then HaKazara and Hanachu would be yasa through a Nachri. That's why Rav Shechter paskins in the Eretz HaTzvi. We mentioned Rav Shechter discusses this in the Eretz HaTzvi, because it's to disagree with him. He holds it's always Shem Yechad to be Gecholim, so there's never a heter to ask a Nachri to do any of these things, Hanachu b'tchilo or HaKazara. Because it's not a shvus to shvus, it's one shvus. You might come to stoke the coals. Chazanish is the same way. And Rabbi Willig argued, based on his nuanced approach, the following pshara. If it's a covered flame, but it's hanachah b'tchila, meaning it was from the refrigerator, it didn't have an initial shahia, but it's a covered flame, so then it should be allowed. Why? The covered flame solves the shemi echad b'gecholim issue. The fact that it's hanachah b'tchila is a problem of mechzikim of ashel. And on that, you have a shvus to shvus. It's bishul midrabanan. I asked the Nachri to do the bishul midrabanan. That's associated with the action. The matzav problem, that I might come to stoke the coals, is solved by the blech. So you can ask a Nachri, if you're in a pinch, to put stuff back on a blech. A Nachri b'tchil on a blech on Shabbos. Comes up. Might come up. Comes up. The second application is with regards to a Shabbos clock. The Chazanish discusses a kunz. Can you put on, let's say you have a heating utensil that's going to turn on with a Shabbos clock. Can you do HaKazara when the heating utensil is off and the Shabbos clock will turn on and turn it all on? But you're putting the pot on Shabbos. Let's say you have an oven that's off. I want to put the pot in. The oven turns on with the Shabbos clock. Is that a problem or not? So the Chazanish says, yes, that's a problem. Why? Because it's an Isser Matzav. I don't care who put it there. Even though you put it there when it's off, when it turns on, you might come to stoke the coals. It's not an Isser action. It's an Isser Matzav situation. But Rabbi Willig suggested, the Chazanish holds if you do it on Friday, it's allowed, by the way. If you put food on top of a heating utensil that's going to turn on Shabbos, that's allowed if you put it there Friday, as long as it's a covered flame. Why? Because he holds that Shehiya. He didn't violate Hakazor. He didn't do anything on Shabbos. That's Shehiya on something that might turn on later. That's why it comes out, by the way, according to that, that you could put, should be, Luke's talked about it. No, we'll leave it out. Anyway, so that's the Chazon Ish. You can do it Friday, but you can't do it on Shabbos. But it will help based on his nuanced approach that if it's a covered flame, you could do it. You could put something on heating utensil, which is off right now, as long as it's a covered flame. Why? Because the Shem Yechal to be Gecholim, which is an Isur Matzav, is solved by the covered flame. The fact that you're doing Bishul Midrabanan on something that's off, there's no Bishul Midrabanan. I didn't. It's off right now. How could it be an Isur HaKadar right now? So Wilk again would come up with his nuanced approach. This all has to do with setting up a coffee maker to go off on Shabbos. But Wilk has his opposition to coffee in general. So I told him I feel like drinking coffee in front of him is like Mar Halacha Bifnei Rabba. Yeah, you can't drink. He asked it because coffee's bad for you.
He thinks they're addicts, so
yeah.
They have Shem Yechata anyway.
Yeah, yeah. But I know he's afraid you're going to come to pick up the lid. Yeah, he told me. But he's opposed to coffee. He doesn't like coffee. Yeah, so he's... Whatever. Okay, the third application of this comes up with regards to Gedera or Gabi Gedera. The Shulchan Aruch here in Sif Hei writes that if you have a... even Nesina Mechadash, you want to do take something that was not on the flame Friday going into Shabbos, you can put it on top of a Gedera or Gabi Gedera. That's in Sif Hei. The Ran quotes in the name of the Rashba that that's because there's no Merzi Kimavashal on top of a Kedera. There's no Merzi Kimavashal. So Shulchan Aruch is Mekel even by Hanacha B'tchilo, certainly HaChazara. The problem is in Siv Gimel, he seems to contradict himself. Shulchan Aruch is Mekel only by HaChazara. Shulchan Aruch, we discussed it before. He says if you wake up in the morning, you see Sheikdicha Tavshiloi, your Tavshilo is drying out, pick it up and put it on top of a pot, but you have to make sure Shulay Yasim Agabe Karka. So Hanacha B'tchilo is Otzer on top of a Kedera, and only HaChazar is allowed. But in Sif Hei, it allows even Hanacha B'tchilo. What's going on? So Machatzis HaShekel explains Pshat in the Magen Avram that he thinks he's being Miyashiv the Stira, that there's a difference between a Lach and Yovish. By Dvarim Lachim, we're afraid if you do it, that it might actually be cold. If you do Hanacha B'tchilo, it's going to be cold. You'll violate Bishol. HaChazara, we're not so concerned it got so cold you violate Bishol. But if it's Hanacha B'tchilo by Dover Lach, you're going to violate Bishol. So then you can't even do it on top of a Kedera. Dover Lach, you can't do Hanacha B'tchilo on top of a Kedera, only HaChazara. But a Dover Yovish, you can even do Hanacha B'tchilo on top of a Kedera. So he distinguishes between a Dover Yovish, you can do Hanacha B'tchilo on top of a Kedera, and a Dover Lach, that you cannot do Hanacha B'tchilo on top of a Kedera. But the whole time here, the Kedera is empty. Nobody ever heard of food in the pot. Everything is empty. So what's the Heter on top of a Kedera? Because it's not Mechzik Mevashel. Nobody cooks on top of a Kedera. So Bavadia Shita was, that why does it have to be the curved pot? Even a flat pot, meaning a blech. Nobody cooks on top of the Chazon Ish argued, we make eggs on top of blechs all the time, every restaurant. Bavadia argued, nobody cooked on top of a blech. Who ever heard of such a thing? So he says, that's like a flat pot. So then you could even do Hanacha B'tchilo if it's a Dava Yavish on top of a blech. Sfaradim do like that. So B'dieva too, you can rely on that. The guy did Hanacha B'tchilo on top of a blech, you can rely on Rav Avadia. Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa also goes with this pshat. But he doesn't accept Rav Avadia, he doesn't go as far as Rav Avadia to assume that a blech is already the Kedera Agabi Kedera. Ah, a blech is not a Kedera Agabi Kedera, that's Grufa Ktuma. So according to Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, you need an inverted pan. And on top of your inverted pan, on top of your blech, you could put Dover Yovish. So you could take Kugel and put it on top of an inverted pan on top of a blech. All the girls know this Kula because in Eretz Yisrael everyone uses the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa. That's what they teach Hilchos Shabbos out of. So they all come back from all the seminaries without listing them by name with this Kula. That's how they learn to heat food up on Shabbos, is on top of an inverted tin pan on top of a blech. The problem is when they get married to you guys over here in the yeshiva, Rabbi Wilk and Rav Shechter both do not like the pshat of the Magen Avraham. They like the pshat of the Bir Halacha. Bir Halacha resolves a stira in the name of the Prima Gadim in a different way. That in Siv Gimel, when he's only Mekel by HaChazara, is talking about an empty pot. In Siv Hei, when he's even Mekel, Hanacha B'tchilo is talking about a full pot. A full pot of food. You could even do Hanacha B'tchilo on top of that. But an empty pot, you can't do Hanacha B'tchilo on top of that. So it sounds like a full pot is mamish fantastic. You even do hanachah betchila on top of a full pot. Rabbi Willard go ask the kasha. He has a stira, which he said he only found in the Likutim in the back of some version of Shulchan Aruch, that the prima gadim in Siman Reish Nun Ches seems to say you can't do shehiyah on top of a full pot. Wow, why can't you do shehiyah on top of a full pot? You can't even do hanachah betchila on top of a full pot. So Rabbi Willard suggested that it could be the Shulchan Aruch is a shitasa. Remember, Rabbi said we picked the teams long time ago, and the Shulchan Aruch holds hachazara hanachah betchila is all aser. Mexican Mavashel. So there's no Mexican Mavashel on top of a full pot. But maybe there is Shemi Echat B'Gecholim. That's why the Prima Gadim answered Shehiyah on top of a full pot. Why? Because when you look at a full pot of food, it certainly doesn't look like you're cooking if you put something on top of a cholent, but it doesn't remind you not to stoke the coals. There's nothing abnormal here. You have cholent, that's normal. Kugel, that's normal. There's nothing here abnormal to remind you not to stoke the coals. So maybe you will come to stoke the coals on top of a full pot. So therefore, we will suggest that based on our nuanced approach, if the Shulchan Aruch is all the Shitasa, maybe for us, that HaKhazar is us, because of Shem Yechad B'Gecholim, you will need Kedera, Agabi Blech. Not so far-fetched. Not so far-fetched at all. And the pot has to be full of food. So you need Kedera Malaya. You have to put your Tavshil, your Kedera, on top of a Kedera that's Malaya, on top of a Blech. That's what he held according to the Prima Gadim. Then he backtracked a little bit because the Magen Avraham and the Shulchan Aruch HaRab disagree with that Prima Gadim Reish Nun Ches. They hold that you can do Shehiyah on top of a full pot. Full pots do remind you not to stoke the coals. So he backed away. He didn't really think Lamaisa could be made like the Magen Avraham and Shulchan Aruch HaRab, that full pots do remind you to stoke the coals, and you could put stuff on top of a full pot Lamaisa. But he still has sympathetic, I think, to that Prima Gadim that you need Kedera, Gabi Blech, to solve all our problems. Yes? Yeah. I think, according to Magen Avraham and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that's what they're disagreeing with the Prima Gadim. Yeah. We'll get to him in 1 second. But that's why Rabbi Willard suggested, what's the nature of the hetero of Kedera Gabi Kedera? It's not Maxi Kamavasha. Why doesn't it look like you're cooking? So we might have just said because it's abnormal. Who puts food on top of other food? Rabbi Willard suggested perhaps a little bit more nuance, and perhaps it's because it looks like you're cooking the bottom food, not the food that's on top. Therefore, he understood in that light Ramesh's chumra by the steam table. Ramesh said, you're not allowed to put, you know what, by the way, everyone knows what a steam table is? In the calf, you know, they have the water boils in the bottom, and then you have your food with the chicken and the french fries that they serve over there. So the water boils on top, and the steam heats up the food. So Ramesh held, you're not allowed to do achazara to a steam table. Why? Or hanachah b'tchila. Why? Because, why? It's a kedera, mamshah kedera, gabi kedera. So Rabbi Willard, hell no. Because perhaps the pshat, Ramesh says no. So perhaps the pshat Ramesh is, because there, it doesn't look like you're cooking the bottom food. Nobody thinks you're cooking the bottom food. Everyone knows you're cooking what's on top. That's not a kedera, gabi kedera. Because of that, Rabbi Willard was machbir by the kedera blech. Kedera blech is just a very thin pan. Very thin pan that looks like a blech. It's about an inch thick, and they fill it with water. Nobody thinks you're cooking the water in the tin pan, in the thin kedera blech. Because no one ever uses it afterwards. They throw it out, and no one even knows that there's water inside of there, just like an inch thick. So then it shouldn't have the heter of Kedera Agabi Kedera. Nobody thinks you're cooking what's inside. It's the same as the steam table. However, Rabbi Shechter understood, we don't paskin. It's because of Shemi Yechata, it's because of Mersi Kimabashel. The nature of the heter of Kedera Agabi Kedera is not because of any of this. The Mersi Kimabashel, and then maybe the Shulchan Aruch, the nature of the Heter of Kedera Gabi Kedera is like the Chazon Ish writes. The Chazon Ish Roshach in the same camp. Chazon Ish writes, the nature of the Heter of Kedera Gabi Kedera is because it's not on top of the fire, like smicha. Meaning when you put food on top of a Kedera, that's not called on top of the fire, because what heats up my kugel on top of my cholent? What heats up my kugel on top of my cholent? The cholent. The fire heats the cholent. The cholent heats the, it's like telephone, the cholent heats the kugel. Not the fire. That's why Rav Shechter is also very impressed with the Prima Gadim's pshat in the nature of a het of Kedera Gabi Kedera. It's only if there's food inside. Why is it only if there's food inside? Not only because of the crooked blech argument, because if it's empty, it's just a crooked blech, but because when it's full, now you have the fire heats up the water, and the water heats up the top shil on top. So therefore, Rabbi Shechter thought the Kedera Blech is gavaldik. It's fantastic. It heats up the water. The water heats up what's on top. It's not Agabi Ha'esh. When it's not Agabi Ha'esh, like Smicha, so then there's no Isser of Shami Echatu because it's gavaldik. You could do Hanacha B'Tchila. No problem. no reason to have a kedera agavi kedera agavi blech, and even the kedera blech would be fantastic.
Steam
yes,
table also,
huh?
The steam table also is fine.
Though. I don't know. I never asked him. I assume so. He'll probably claim not to know what it is. Yeah.
Very often quotation
from the
Rebbe. He says like
the Shabbos. He says it's I know. I'm well aware. Rabbi Willig's last application of his principle was with regards to what he called, you know, the golden Eitzah, was with regards to hot plates. Where the Mishnah Berurah writes, by offal bomi bodyam, if you cooked it in the previous day, then there's no more cold in it, but it's still yad seledes, but there's no fear of shemi achad b'gachalim, there's no mechzikim of asheo. So Mishnah Berurah seems to imply if you have you don't have concern for shemi achad b'gachalim, you don't have concern for mechzikim of asheo, we can be meiko. So therefore, we will claim the hot plate. We don't have concern for these issues anymore. Nobody cooks on top of a hot plate. That was why he hemmed and hawed. What about in Eretz Yisrael? Some people do cook on top of it, but he thought the Metzius, at least here, is nobody cooks on top of a hot plate. And if it's non-adjustable, or you cover it over with tinfoil, it's not Shemi Echata B'Gecholim, and therefore you could even do Hanacha B'Tchila on top of a hot plate. Others argue, though, and they say, they quote in the name of Tzvi Pesach Frank, he argued, if Shechter likes to, he used to quote this, if Shechter, but then now I think they told him, so many people, that you could heat up stuff on top of a hot plate, so he'll only say it if you pressure him. Like, if you pressure him, he'll tell you this. That he used to quote in the name of Tzvi Pesach Frank, that no, a non-adjustable hot plate just solves that it's Grufo Ktuma. And that itself is an argument. Reb Reuven held it's not even Grufo Ktuma. But we're willing to say, okay, it's not adjustable, it's Grufo Ktuma. But they've never heard of Maxi Kamabasho. It's Shemi Yechad Abigail. Everything is Shemi Yechad Abigail Cholim. See, this is Grufo Ktuma, Shkayach. What about Oyd Biyodo and Daito La'afzir? Yeah, that doesn't help the fact that it's Grufo Ktuma. That's Hanach Betchigo is also, even if it's Grufo Ktuma. So if Shech Lehel, the others hold like this too, that non-adjustable hot plate is not the golden Eitzah necessarily. Why? Because it's Grufo Ktuma, Shkayach. The fact that nobody cooks there is irrelevant because they were never concerned with Maxi Kamabasho. So that's why the hot plate might be the golden eitzah for some, and not for others. For others, the kedera blech is a golden eitzah. For others, it's not the golden eitzah.
According to Shechter, what exactly is the problem with
that? It's gufuk tuma. It's gufuk tuma. We're not making hanacha b'tchila on gufuk tuma. You're going to say, but what are you going to do? But that's irrelevant. It's still just gufuk tuma. Gufuk tuma never solved all the problems. So Will's argument is no, Hanacha B'Tchila is the problem of Mechzikim of Asheo. You don't have that problem here. But if you never heard of Mechzikim of Asheo, so it won't necessarily help. One last ha'ara that you should be aware of is the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know if we ever got out of Sif Aleph. But the Shulchan Aruch over here, Reish and Gimel Sif Aleph, at the end, brings up a Hatmana issue. He quotes from the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Aleph that if you put a pot directly on top of a fire, it's Hatmana, even if there's no insulation around it. That's Hatmana. Hatmana is generally an insulating cover. An oven is never hatmana, it's too far away. It has to be something that's tight-fitting. An oven, putting something in an oven is never hatmana. Even one cover of tinfoil that's there to make sure that it doesn't get dirty is not hatmana. A second cover of tinfoil to keep in the warmth, or if the caterer tells you, he asks, why do you put on the tinfoil? To keep it warm. Well, if you do that, now the tinfoil could be a hatmana issue, if it's on top of a fire. So Shulchan Aruch says, even if there's nothing around it, but it sits directly on the fire, that's a problem, hatmana. So Paiskim write that even for the Shulchan Aruch, that doesn't mean that if you have a heating element, like a non-adjustable hot plate, that means it's sitting on like a stovetop. If it's sitting on a fire, that's hatmana too. You might not only have Shi'iyah issues, you have hatmana issues. The Ramah, though, disagrees, and he says, no, it's open on the sides, that's not hatmana. And then the Ramah adds, even if it's open just on top, it's not hatmana. So that means if you have a covering surrounding the pot, but it's open on top, it's not a hatmana issue for the Ramah. It's only a problem if it's fully surrounded. What does he mean by that? So the Prima Gadam has a suffix. Does he mean it's surrounded completely on the sides, just the top is open and it's not a problem with hatmana? Or does he mean, no, it's open on the top, not only the top, but the upper part of the walls too. It has to be somewhere on the walls. He just means to disagree with the Shulchan Aruch. If it's sitting on a fire, that's not hatmana. It has to be covered on the sides too. But it'd be meiko if it's covered all the way around the sides and just open on top, maybe not. So that's a machlokes of contemporary poskim. And that's the issue with regards to the crock pot. A crock pot that we have is surrounded on all sides by a tight fitting heating element. But it's open on top. There's just a cover. And the cover is just to make sure, it's not for hatmana issues, it's to make sure other issues. So that shouldn't be hatmana because it's open on top. There's no second covering on top. So Ramashel, that's mutter. That's what the Rama means. It's open on top. That's allowed. The Prima Gadim had one side in the Prima Gadim. And the last pshat that Rav Shlomo Zalman issued before he passed away was that no, we should be machmir, that it has to be open on the sides too a little bit. So that's why Rav Shlomo Zalman recommended, and many people do like this. If you go like Ramashel, just open on the top, that's okay. It's not hatmana. You need a blech sometimes for Shahiyah issues, but hatmana won't be. But Rav Shlomo Zalman held that you need hatmana in order to avoid hatmana. It has to be open on the walls too a little bit, that it takes away some of the heat. So you have to lift it up a drop, so much so that the walls are exposed a little bit. So that's why some people put rocks in the bottom of the crock pot, or they put tinfoil balls in the bottom of the crock pot. In order to lift the crock pot up, there shouldn't be hatmana issue, that some of the walls are exposed to. Okay. Shkrat Chavezah.